The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to today's podcast, sponsored by Hillsdale College. All things Hillsdale at hillsdale.edu. I encourage you to take advantage of the many free online courses there. And, of course, to listen to the Hillsdale Dialogues, all of them at hughforhillsdale.com, or just Google Apple, iTunes, and Hillsdale. Morning Glory, America, Bonjour, hi, Canada. I'm Hugh Hewitt, live in Studio North, joined by former Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence. Mr. Vice President, welcome back to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Great to be back on the show, Hugh. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for joining me. Let's first begin with your reaction to the news overnight that former President Trump has been indicted.
Well, I think it's important to know that we don't know the facts in this case. No one does. But, you know, after years of politicization at the Justice Department, 2.5 years in our administration where we fought against the Russia hoax that the Durham report recently confirmed, was an investigation that should never even been started. And then when we saw the collusion between big tech and big media and even the FBI to suppress the Hunter Biden laptop story going into our investigation, I'm deeply troubled to see this indictment move forward. I mean, I yesterday on the road in Iowa, I had said that I had hoped that the DOJ would see its way clear not to move forward here. But let me be very clear. No one is above the law. As you know better than most of you, handling classified materials is a very serious matter. That was why in my own case, after multiple disclosures at the personal residence of President Biden with documents and records dating back to when he was Vice President of the United States, I had my records examined. We found that there were some classified documents that have made their way back into my personal records. We fully cooperated with the Justice Department. I took full responsibility, and I'm pleased the Justice Department concluded that investigation last week. I found it was an innocent mistake, but it was a mistake. We have to protect our nation's secrets. And my only hope is, as we learn about the facts of this indictment next week, that the American people will see in this case that it would meet a high standard necessary to justify the unprecedented federal indictment of a former president of the United States by the current president of the United States Justice Department and by a potential rival. As I said, I had hoped the DOJ would see its way clear to resolve this without an indictment. I think this is going to be terribly divisive for the country. I also think it sends a terrible message to the wider world that looks at America as a standard of not only democracy, but of justice.
Mr. Vice President,
we'll learn the facts. But Lady Justice is blind. And, you know, I announced my intentions to seek the Republican nomination for president this week, Hugh, and I want to pledge to your listeners around the country that when I become president, I'm going to clean house at the highest levels of the Justice Department. We're going to appoint men and women of integrity at every level that will restore the public confidence of the American people in equal justice under the law.
Do you think Christopher Wray needs to go?
Well, I said, look, I think if I become president of the United States, we're going to clean house all across the top floors, whether it's the Justice Department or whether it's the FBI. I just think we need a whole new team. I think there's been literally a collapse of confidence. Like we have to have confidence in our institutions in this country. We have to have confidence in the rule of law. We have to be willing to stand on the rule of law. And so, absolutely, yes. I think we need to clean house across the board at the Justice Department, the FBI. And also, we have to recognize, Hugh, as you know well, that the vast majority of men and women that serve in the FBI and who are in law enforcement at every level in this country are the best people in this country. And the failures and the the history of politicization that we have witnessed. In fact, the weaponization of the law in the political realm in recent years against our administration and now against the former president here, potentially. We need a new team. We need new leadership in the White House, and I'm going to work my heart out in the next year and a half to deliver that for the American people.
Mr. Vice President, a couple of quick questions. Have you been in front of this grand jury, the one that has indicted the former president?
This is the grand jury, I believe, that was convened in Miami.
Correct.
The answer to that is no.
Now, I know that you and I both went...
After we properly defended the constitutional protections around my role as president of the Senate, I did respond to a subpoena and appeared before a grand jury in Washington.
Right. I knew that, but I didn't know that you... I didn't think you'd been before the Miami, but I wanted to
sure.
Now, you went to IU Law School. I went to Michigan Law School. I have never prosecuted a case. I've been in one criminal court as a, you know, pro bono defense attorney, not very good. Were you ever a prosecutor, Mr. Pence?
Say again.
Were you ever a prosecutor during your private practice days?
I was not. No, during my private practice days, I occasionally sat as a judge pro tem.
No, so did I. That was always great fun.
Civil court. Yeah.
Now let me ask you: do you think it is responsible for this indictment to be sealed? This is a first in American history indictment of a former president, and it has not been made public.
I think the Justice Department should immediately move to unseal the indictment. I think the sooner we bring the facts forward to the American people, the better. The American people have a right to know of the basis for both the facts and the law underpinning the unprecedented indictment of a former president of the United States under federal law. So I would call for that, and I'm doing so now on your broadcast. I truly do believe, while I believe there's a hearing on Tuesday and this information comes out then, look, we need to do everything that we can to give the American people the facts in this case and end the rampant speculation as the media is beginning its latest rush to judgment. The American people are entitled to the facts and the law in this case.
I couldn't agree more, Mr. Vice President. I was talking to another Richard, not your lawyer, Richard. I know your lawyer, Richard, too, but another Richard who knows your Richard lawyer. And we were just astonished that it should be a speaking indictment, a so-called speaking indictment. It should be the Daniel Webster of speaking indictments. It ought to go on forever. But this is so strange. Do you think it's responsible for Merrick Garland not to have said anything?
I don't understand the rollout of this at all. I was very troubled to hear from some of the president's counsel speaking on television last night that they learned through press reports about the indictment in the first instance, and that we haven't heard from the Justice Department even up to this moment. It's totally unacceptable. Look, this is a sad day for America to see a former president of the United States face an indictment under federal law. I think it sends a divisive message across the country and a terrible message across the wider world. And the sooner that we know the facts under this, the American people can make their own judgment about whether or not there was any merit to this case at all.
Do you think the Attorney General and Special Counsel Smith should appear in front of the press and answer questions?
I think at very minimum, the Attorney General of the United States should appear before the American people, lay out all the facts that they know, all the relevant law in this case, and answer questions until every question is answered. Look, this is a sad day for America. I mean, no one would welcome this moment, and particularly at a time, I have to tell you, Hugh, I mean, I'm running for president because I think this country's in a lot of trouble. I mean, the American people are facing extraordinary hardship under the failed policies of the Biden administration. Where you know better than most that we have widening peril in the world every day. The enemies of freedom have been emboldened by the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan and the weak leadership of this administration. And here at home, Americans feel that their liberties and their values are under assault. And this will just add fuel to the fire. It's one of the reasons I want to be someone that makes it clear. No one's above the law. Handling classified materials is a very serious matter. But we don't know the facts in this case. No one does. And the American people deserve to know. They have a right to know the facts of this case. And I think the Attorney General of the United States should go before the American people, come clean about the basis of this decision. The American people can make their own judgment.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Now, Mr. Vice President, long ago and far away, I clerked for the three-judge panel back in the days of the independent counsel law when we appointed Jake Stein, the three judges, not the clerk, I was just watching, to investigate Ed Meese. And he was a very, very well-known private practice lawyer. And unlike most special counsels or independent counsels, and the name changes depending on the era, he was done in 6 months, and Ed Meese then went on to be confirmed because he was exonerated. Mr. Smith is a very unusual background. He's from The Hague. He's a war crime prosecutor, and he's alleged to be an unusually ferocious prosecutor. Do you think that is a good idea in this situation to have someone? And by the way, I'll mix two questions, your reaction to Mr. Smith, and does this impact the presidential race? It obviously does, but I'd like your reaction, because prosecutors are not supposed to impact presidential races.
Well, I'm not a fan of special prosecutors generally. I thought we did well to get rid of the independent counsel statute to begin with. When you appoint a special prosecutor, more often than not, you prosecute, period. That's what they're appointed to do, as opposed to just following the facts and following the law. I mean, I don't know for the world why we embrace special prosecutors in the way that we do. Good heavens, what we went through in our administration with the appointment of a special counsel that we now know was based on completely bogus and political facts, speaks for itself, and it's a black mark in the history of the Justice Department. And so I hold that general view with regard to whoever is serving in that capacity. With regard to the politics of this, I find myself less focused on that in this moment. I mean, to me, as I said in Iowa yesterday, I had hoped that the Department of Justice would see their way clear to resolve these issues with the former president without moving forward with an indictment, because I think it comes at a time of great hardship for the country, and also it will serve to impact politics in this country one way or the other. It'll drive even more divisiveness in our country when everywhere I go, I hear the American people say that we want to see leadership that will confront the problems that we're chasing, that we're facing at home and abroad.
Hugh. Yeah, Mr. Vice President, I want people to hear this. You are running against your former running mate, and yet you deplore this because it just wrecks American politics. And I want to remind people, the former president was ambushed in Trump Tower on the first January 6, 2017 by Mr. Clapper, Mr. Brennan, and Mr. Comey. We had 2 years of Mueller. We had two impeachment. We have the Alvin Bragg idiocy. We have the Georgia proceedings with the spouting jury forewoman. We got a special counsel from The Hague. We have no statement from the attorney general on a hidden indictment. Do you expect the American people to have any confidence in this process?
I understand the deep concern. I share it. I lived through all those things. I mean, I lived through the years of politicization. I watched no indictment of Hillary Clinton after 33,000 emails and, a hammer taken to a server and bleach. I lived through years of the Russia hoax myself. I mean, we incurred hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees.
Yes.
Responding to that bogus investigation. I watched as we learned that the FBI agents with political motivations were driving that. And then in the lead up to the 2020 election, I watched as big tech and big media with the FBI holding the Hunter Biden laptop, all managed to completely cover up the reality of what we're now continuing to see unfurl as more and more evidence of literal corruption in the Biden family. And I understand the deep concern of the American people about the politicization of our Justice Department in this country. But I want to step back on this one, and I want to say, look, handling classified information is a very serious matter. No one knows the facts in this case, and I'm calling on the Attorney General of the United States, along with you and others, Hugh, to say that this indictment should be unsealed. The American people have a right to know. And if I have the great privilege of serving as president of the United States, we're going to clean house at the highest level of the Justice Department, and we're going to appoint men and women of integrity who will restore and rebuild the foundations of public confidence in American justice. We deserve nothing less, and after years of politicization that's come to light, I understand and share the deep concern of the American people about the unprecedented indictment of a former president of the United States by the current president and by his and against his potential rival.
Do you think, Mr. Vice President, that Donald Trump can get a fair trial in Miami or anywhere in the United States? It's going to be a carnival. It's going to make the OJ trial look like, you know, a warm-up act at a bad club. It's going to go on forever, and it's going to impact our politics. But do you think he can be treated fairly?
Well, I have every confidence that President Trump and his legal team will be able to make their defense. I know him well. Served shoulder to shoulder with him for 4 years. He knows how to make his case and defend himself. And I must tell you, I still believe in the foundations of the American justice system. I still believe in the American people. And should this matter go to trial, I have every confidence in the common sense and judgment of the American people to be discerning in this matter. It's just, look, all of the rot in our justice system in America is at the top. I mean, this is a good, decent, fair-minded nation, and the people that serve in law enforcement at every level
now
are some of the best people in this country, and we need new leadership that will move us past this era of politicization and weaponization in the Justice Department and appoint the kind of people at the highest levels that will restore public confidence by virtue of their integrity and their commitment to the rule of law.
I think people are surprised that Tim Scott said it before the indictment on this show yesterday. Ron DeSantis tweeted out last night, the weaponization of federal law enforcement represents a mortal threat to our free society. You used the term weaponization. When all of the opponents of the indicted candidate speak out against the process, that tells me that our left in the United States doesn't have a clue as to what this represents to the right. And I want to quote my friend and colleague at the Washington Post, Ruth Marcus, in a column this morning, referring to your comments on CNN before the indictment. When you said it would be terribly divisive to this country, I think it would also send a terrible message to the wider world. She quoted you, Ruth did, and then she wrote, Pence has things half right, divisive. That goes without saying in these polarized times. The broader message, though, is that the rule of law prevails in the United States no matter who is accused of wrongdoing. Of course, the rule of law applies, Mr. Vice President, but can and should the media ignore everything that has gone before as we consider this very unusual special counsel and the silence from the attorney general in this? I mean, I'm just stunned by this. It's a first ever thing in American history, and we don't know anything about it.
Well, I think that's the point, is that the media speaks about this as though it's happened in a vacuum, as if this is the first moment that we've seen any action that may bear upon American politics. Good heavens. I mean, again, I go back to that 2016 campaign when I was out there shoulder to shoulder with my running mate, and we saw the director of the FBI call a press conference exonerating Hillary Clinton after it was found she had mishandled 33,000 documents, classified documents. So no indictment there. Then the Russia hoax. Then everything we've gone through. The media's unwillingness, and frankly, the the rush to judgment that I've seen in most of the major media, in this case on the left, is not surprising. This is having lived through this and been through this fight, but this is a moment, I think, when we do well. Those of us that have had the opportunity to serve in leadership in this country, and those who aspire to leadership, to take a half step back and go to first principles. All right, let's remember first and foremost. Every American is innocent until proven guilty. That is a bedrock principle of American justice, Hugh. You know that. And the other principle is that no one is above the law. The handling of classified materials is a very serious matter. That's why I handled it the way I handled it when documents were found in my residence. I took full responsibility for it. We fully cooperated, but it was a mistake. But that's why standing here today, I want to remind people that we don't know the facts of this case. We don't have any idea what's in it. The Justice Department, I think before the sun sets today, the Attorney General of the United States should be standing in front of the American people, should unseal this indictment, should provide the American people with all the facts and information here, and the American people be able to judge for themselves whether this is just the latest incident of weaponization and politicization at the Justice Department or if it's something different.
I have two more questions, Mr. Vice President. One, the debates begin in August. I know you'll qualify to be on the stage. I'm sure people, I don't even know what your website is. What's your website, Mr. Vice President, for the campaign?
MikePence2024.com. Thanks, you.
MikePence2024.com. I'm sure you'll be on the stage. I hope I'm asking questions, but I don't know that the former president can engage in debates without legal peril. That's part of this problem. Do you think he can? I just don't think he can.
Well, I think debates are vitally important. And I people have asked me a couple of times. They said, how would you ever feel about debating Donald Trump in the Republican primary debates? And I said, I've debated Donald Trump many times.
Just not with
the cameras on. So, I'm very confident that we'll be able to accommodate the Republican Party. Will do a great job pulling those debates together. We'll be able to accommodate and make sure that that the former president, the former vice president, everybody else that qualifies will be able to be on that stage.
Now, believe it or not, when we scheduled this interview, it was going to be all about China. Not only are you the former vice president, but you have a son in arms and a son-in-law in arms. And you look at the China thing. China has opened a spy base in Cuba, according to the Wall Street Journal. They ran a ship across two of our Navy's finest ships. And I'm just this is why I hate this indictment. We should have been talking about the existential threat to the United States, which is General Secretary Xi Jinping. But I want to close, Mr. Vice President, by giving you a chance to opine on that base and on the conduct of the Chinese People Liberation Army Navy in the Taiwan Straits.
Hugh, it's an absolute outrage to hear reports that China is establishing a spy base in Cuba. It's totally unacceptable. As I've said, we need a new Monroe Doctrine for the 21st century that essentially says to China, to Russia, to other foreign powers that would come into our hemisphere, that this is a hemisphere of freedom. And we're going to continue to take steps to ensure that that's the case, not only for the security of this country, but the security of the entire hemisphere. And I thank you for mentioning my sons always. You know, my son, the Marine, and my son-in-law, the Navy pilot, have both deployed. They've deployed in the Asia Pacific. China is today the greatest economic and strategic threat the United States faces. It can only be met with American strength, and the Biden administration today, and sadly the deal that they just cut for the debt ceiling, actually puts us in a position where we'll have a 1% cut after inflation in defense spending. I mean, it's astonishing, Hugh, and I want to come back on and talk about it. It's astonishing at a time when China is floating a new battleship every month, the Biden administration, in the wake of its disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, its weak leadership abroad, is actually talking about cutting military spending. It's one of the reasons why I had hoped the DOJ would see their way clear to not move forward with this indictment. It's not just because it's divisive at home, but because I think it has the potential of distracting the American people and distracting the American public debate on the real threats to our country. on the wider world stage, and the challenges we're facing with a crisis at our border, millions of people pouring into this country, a crime wave in our cities. But I promise you, as I move forward with our campaign for president of the United States, we're going to keep focused on the issues that are impacting the American people. And we're going to drive forward a policy that will restore the security and the prosperity of the American people.
Mr. Vice President, thank you. Keep coming back. MikePence2024.com. I appreciate the extended time this morning and your candor. The show is always open to you. Just let us know and we'll have you back, Mr. Vice President. Thank you.
Thank you.
The difference you can make in a kid's life. We have done this campaign every year for I don't know how many years, and every year you guys in the audience come through and bless a bunch of kids that have parents, either one or two parents, that are incarcerated. These are potentially at-risk kids. Let's talk to Darren Edwards of United Believers Community Church in Kansas City as to what this ministry is all about.
Well, one of the things I will share with those of you who are contemplating, should I share? Should I give my resources? I know things are tight, inflation is high, and you're making decisions on what to do and how to do. There's no better way to invest in the life of a child. That you're becoming the hands and the feet of Jesus the moment you make that donation to support Angel Tree Camps. So I hope you will, and I pray you will.
I hope you will, and I pray you will as well. $200 is what will send one kid to camp. And as you know, with Christian camps, a week at camp can make all the difference in the world to a kid at this stage of their life. $200 or even any donation can be pooled with somebody else's donation, and eventually it will get a kid to camp. If you would just please go to HughHewitt.com, click on the Angel Tree Camp banner at the top, let it load. It'll take a second for that banner to load on the page. Or you can phone it in to 888-206-2764. That's 888-206-2764. But the easiest way is to click on the Angel Tree Camp banner at the top of HughHewitt.com.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Welcome back, America. New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu joins me. Good morning, Governor. Thank you for joining me on the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Hey, morning, Hugh. How we doing?
Great. I was just in Cambridge at Kendall Square. It's a lot nicer than when you went to MIT and I went to Harvard. They've really cleaned up Kendall Square.
Yeah, they cleaned up everything but the communism. I mean, the People's Republic of Cambridge.
You're right about that.
holy cow. It's around Harvard. I mean, MIT, we try to, you know, and Kendall Square is more on the MIT side for the listeners here. The Harvard Square side gets a little, it doesn't get red Republican. It gets a deep crimson red.
Oh, my goodness.
The sickle, you know?
Oh, my goodness. All right, Mr. Governor, I want to begin. I just had former vice president on for half an hour. I want to begin with the same question. Just your reaction to news of the indictment of former President Trump.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Yeah, well, look, it's amazing that we're at the point where it's just another headline. I mean, it is. I'm not belittling the importance of it, but its impact, it continues to have a big impact for the former president if he were in the general election. It more solidifies independents and these disenfranchised folks against him. But I think it has almost no impact in the primary. It just, he's going to play the victim card. He's going to say it was politically driven, you know, all of that. And so I at this point, I think most Republican-based voters are just like, yeah, you know, we've heard this story before. It's amazing that we've gotten to that point, but I think that's the reality of it. Not a huge impact for the primary, but very, very impactful for the general election if he were to be the nominee.
Now, Governor, three of his opponents, the former vice president, Governor DeSantis on Twitter decries the weaponization of federal law enforcement, and Senator Scott gave me an anticipatory denunciation of the weaponization of the Department of Justice yesterday. If all the opponents are saying the same thing, what does that reflect about at least the center-right America's view of the Department of Justice and the FBI in these days?
Yeah, no trust. No, I mean, if there's ever a department, you have to maintain the trust of the American people. It's there. It is gone. And by the way, I don't even think it's of the center right. I think most independents even understand, and a lot of Democrats even understand, that the politics within that organization have gone above and beyond anything you could have imagined and has really, really hurt the credibility. It's going to take a lot to rebuild that institution back, but you can't just go on. I mean, it does need a complete overhauling and rebuilding. New protocols, new levels of transparency, new firewalls, you know, making sure that the politics of individuals don't come into play. So I'm not sure how we got here. I don't know exactly, but it's kind of broke through the dam and it's a complete mess. And they're right. They're right. It is a weaponization of the Department of Justice. And look, I guess the only good news here is we're seeing it. It's getting exposed. And now hopefully there can be some corrections made to it. I mean, I'd rather have it exposed than us dealing with it than it to completely live under the rug, you know?
Now, the former vice president said, before the sun sets tonight, Merrick Garland, the attorney general, should appear in front of the American people and answer questions and release the indictment. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that'll happen. I agree with it. No, I agree with it completely. But, I mean, my God, are you kidding? Merrick Garland.
You know, Governor, you're a heck of a good interview. I love that.
No, man, he's been a complete coward in this whole process. I mean, he should have. Let's go back to the day they took the files from, you know, we raided Mar-a-Lago and took the files out. They should have been right there saying, okay, here's what's going to happen. We know this was unprecedented, but here's the timeline. We're going to tell you what was in the files in the next 5 days. We're going to have a summary judgment here. We're going to do this there. Set expectations for the American people when you do unprecedented things. They don't understand the value of that. And so, therefore, they've taken another unprecedented step with this indictment. And, of course, they're going to go down the same terrible rabbit hole of keeping people in the dark, making people wonder, you know, what the political motives are. And it just spurs up, again, more lack of trust for a department that America really needs to start buying into, because it's an important department. When they do their job right, it's important. The Department of Justice should be the thing that we can lean on, the rock of Washington that doesn't get involved in political messes. And it is just it is deep into the swamp.
I am a veteran of the DOJ. I served as a special assistant to Bill Smith and Ed Meese. And you're absolutely right. It was not remotely political. But now I want to, again, you're not a fan of Donald Trump, so I want your reaction to this. We had the first January 6, 2017 ambush of Trump in Trump Tower by Clapper, Brennan and Comey. We had 2 years of Mueller. We've had two impeachment. We have the Alvin Bragg idiocy in Manhattan. We have the Georgia proceedings with the jury forewoman who won't shut up. We've got the special counsel from the Hague War Crimes Tribunal. Nothing from the attorney general and a hidden indictment. What do people in New Hampshire think about this? You're the live free or die state.
Yeah, it hits home hard. Look, we are, whether you're Republican or even Democrat, and a lot of the independents, we all have a little bit of that lowercase L libertarian in us, right? In New Hampshire, that's just the way we are. So overall, no one likes any of it, and again, it just keeps building this mistrust of the federal government. We're very proud of what we do in the state. Like one of the main reasons I thought about running for president was to return the concept of states' rights and more power and the regulatory authority back to the state, decentralizing government. That's how you drain the swamp, balancing budgets, all that kind of good government stuff that I think we do really well in New Hampshire. And so the contrast between New Hampshire and Washington is night and day. And so specifically to New Hampshire voters, because they're going to be pretty important this fall for both Republicans and Democrats, by the way. I think RFK Jr. is polling at like 30% now against Biden. But they're all quite upset with what's happening in D.C. They all think it's a mess. And I keep going back to the word trust. The lack of transparency destroys any sense of trust. Even if you disagree with someone on a policy, you at least want to trust that, okay, I disagree with this person, but boy, at least they're being forthright about how they're coming to their conclusions. And now we can debate it out. But there's none of that. And
now,
so,
Governor, when you declined to run, you all but endorsed Governor DeSantis. When are you going to make that official?
Oh, no, I didn't. No, 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 no. Oh, my goodness. Look, I haven't endorsed anybody, and I won't endorse anyone for quite a while. I have no idea how any of these candidates will do on a debate stage, under fire, under pressure. How well are they going to retail politics? We haven't seen much of it at all. I mean, they're just starting that process now. I'm going to have coffee with the vice president tomorrow. I'm going to see Doug Burgum. He's coming to the state on Saturday. I'm going out with Nikki Haley in a week or so. So, no, there's a long way to go, and everyone's got to earn it. And they're all friends. I mean, they really are all friends. I disagree with all of them a little bit on policy, and they disagree with me, and that's fine. But I think all of them would have a shot at beating Biden. Obviously, I don't think former President Trump can beat Biden. I know that. Mathematically, it just can't happen. But almost all of them, the rest of them, have a shot at beating Biden and winning, and that's the most important thing. And all that matters is winning in November. And if you can't do that, you got to step out. But the only way you get there is if you earn it on the ground.
Let me talk to you a little bit about the debates. The first one is in August in Milwaukee. There will be at least 11 more. I talked to the chairwoman of the RNC, Ronna McDaniel, about them. Obviously, I'm an interested party because I want to be on the stage. But do you think the former president can participate in debates when he's being prosecuted? I mean, every defense attorney I've talked to says it's a nightmare for a defendant to be talking in public. I just think they've just taken the whole process off the rails.
Yeah. Well, look, it's interesting because Trump has already, the former president has already indicated he doesn't want to participate in the debates and doesn't feel like he needs to. So it'll be interesting if he uses this as a continued excuse to not show up. But I don't think he has the will to not get on that stage. You can't say you're a fighter and not get on the stage. I think he's going to get on one way or the other. It's going to be a giant stage. You know, I don't like the way they've set this up, right? So you have a former Trump or a current Trump advisor really setting the rules for the RNC on the debates. I don't like that at all. He's a great guy, David Bossy, great guy. But the way the RNC has allowed the Trump people to set the rules on the debates, I think is crazy. Whether he even participates or not, that remains to be seen. But you bring up a good point. I'm not a lawyer, thank God. So I can't speak to the legal aspects, but it makes sense that he would be in a very hard position and very well could accidentally put himself into further legal jeopardy by just answering questions because he feels like he needs to be in the debate. So I don't know. The Democrats have played this terribly. If they want him to be the nominee, when maybe that's the case, then they're doing great because they are just building more support for him amongst the base, more sympathy, if you will, more victimization. But we'll see how it plays out.
So I want to be completely transparent. I've told everyone in the audience, you don't know this, but I've talked to Ronna McDaniel and presented to the RNC about being a participant in the debate. I know David, and I've done the same thing with Bossy and the entire committee. I think they're bending over backwards to be fair to everyone. By the way, I like their 40,000 contributors and 1% in the poll. What do you make of that standard?
1%? That's nothing. No, that 1% is way too low. Look, Larry Elder will likely get 1% in 40,000 donors because he ran for governor of California years ago. Like that some people know that's just another voice on the stage. And what almost every Republican agrees is we can't have a super large field this year. So if they're going to really narrow that down very, very quickly, fine. But what I'm afraid of is they're going to basically make these early debates very, very perfunctory and say, well, what do you think? And what do you think? And what do you think? Take your 30 seconds and your 30 seconds with very little back and forth and going at it a little bit. So they have a risk of making them big and boring early on. And,
yeah, I think they had to double that. Yeah. I've told Ronna this. I think they had to double the 40,000 to 80,000, the 1% to 2% for debate two, and then double it again for debate three, and double it again for debate four.
Yeah, because if they go that route, I'd be there. Yeah, but I got to see that. You know, if that's what they're going to do, then they got to do it. But just saying, hey, we're going to have 17 people on the first debate, that's a waste of time.
I think it'll be max 10 and probably more like it. So, Governor, tell me about on the ground in New Hampshire. Who has momentum in the way that only you will know, because you've run, what, like 18 times for governor, at least all the Sununus combined have? How do you know who's got momentum in the Granite State?
Just talking to folks, and you have to know who to talk to and where. So I go to rural parts of the state to see what they're thinking, right? And Trump always does well in the rural parts of the state. I think everyone's very interested to see if and when Governor DeSantis comes up with what he can do. Nikki Haley and Mike Pence and Tim Scott have been here quite a bit, and they've been doing a great job on the ground. Some of the new candidates have been interesting to see. I know there's obviously I'm preferential to governor. So now that Doug Burgum is likely in the race and he's going to be here and hitting the ground, I think a lot of people are interested to see what he's all about because he's kind of a new name, but with a great record. So
yeah, call me. I'll drive down and meet him. I'm up in Maine, and I'd like, you know, I wouldn't recognize him on a subway platform, but I'd sure like to meet him. Let me know when he's coming. Yeah. Governor Chris Sununu, keep coming back. You've got your finger on the pulse of the Granite State, and I appreciate your spending time with us this morning.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.